The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Do you think the Lord is good? You know that the Lord is good. So lift your hands. Lift your hands. Just pray in the Spirit. Do you know this song? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth shall I make him known. From the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. You know it right. Let's sing. Come on, sing it.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Sing with my mouth, with my mouth. Yes, 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 yes. From the rising,
from the
sleep on the instruments. They are weak. I will sing. Come on.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
See, I will sing.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
See, with my mouth, with my
mouth,
ah,
shall I make it known
from the rising,
from the
so amazing. From creation, come on.
That a voice from creation is the center of my name.
He's so amazing. Second verse.
He's so amazing.
That a voice that from creation.
That a voice that from creation is the same that calls my name at every time.
You lead up my life.
You lead up my life with the beauty of your glory. For you.
The whole church now. Say, I love you now. Yes. Let me hear your own voice. God wants to hear your own voice in this song. Woo. Ah. God wants to hear your own voice. Make sure your voice is being heard this morning. I love you now. Let your own voice be heard. Thank you this month, Father. Thank you for this month. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the graces you make available. Thank you for the flow of your spirit. Thank you for the flow of your spirit. Thank you for the flow of your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For all trans by the Holy Ghost. And again, go shading galate. Meduku preda shiding klepronda. Zigele vrion kron de shekem prateya teya. Mendele proda. So you have not. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And you must not forget what I've told you. And what I told you in January. How that you must do this year with joy. At different times, sadness has come. And you're almost forgetting. Write that. Pray everywhere. That this year must be done with joy. For says the Spirit of the Lord, one major weapon you're going to win this year with will be joy. At different times, sadness will rise in your heart. But let it just be there. But let it not get into your spirit. And how you shut that down is by releasing the joy of the Spirit from your inside. Thank you, Holy Ghost. For there are mountains that will fall. There are mountains that will collapse. As you begin to release the joy of the Spirit from your inside. Yes, but there are walls that will come down as you begin to release yourself to the joy of the Spirit. Lo prende shikata leketianda. Ooh. Thank you, Father. For there's a river that makes glad. Thank you, Spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Duke prende la cobra teya. Oh, shianda. Always let that river flow from within you. Let it flow from within you. Thank you, glory to God. Medin grodun je prenda kindra teya. Undre di je prenda kimbra tiga lian duku brandia. For I'm showing you how you're going to win. I'm showing you how you're going to conquer. I'm showing you how you're going to win over and through everything. Yeah. Tuledin krode shionkla trenga. Rodo shieka lepron diga. It shall be by joy. It shall be by laughter. It shall be by a dance. It shall be by a shout. And as you're going to win over everything that comes. And don't forget this. Even when you get home. Don't forget this. Even in August. Don't forget this. Particularly in September and October. Don't forget this. For many things will happen. But always remember that I've spoken to you this day about the joy of the Spirit. As when it comes. When those challenges come and they're rising, when things are not looking as you expected them, you release joy. And says the Lord, that joy you're releasing, we carry Thank you, Holy Ghost. Mediala, a curative effect. It will repair things. It will fix things. As you shout, angels will be instructed to go fix things and get things working. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But this message is for now and it's for the future. It's for now and it's for September and October. Take note of those months. It's for September, October. Always put joy in your mouth. When things are not looking like the way you plan them, you shout, and one thing should be certain. Things will work out better than you plan them if you will not let the joy of the Spirit leave your tongue. Thank you, Spirit of God. As a river that makes glad. Meloda, Shia Kretaka, Nunemetingra Kola Teya Panda, Rodo Jige Liga Libre Tekeya, Wunzopenda Laba. How filled you with joy, says the Lord. Every other feeling you have, feelings of fear, feelings of worry, they are not what I've given to you. What I've given you is joy. What I've given you is love. What I've given you is a sound mind. And so when whatever comes, release that joy and shout and scream and dance and laugh. For says the Lord, that laughter will carry a curative effect, and it will fix whatever that needs to be fixed, says the Spirit of the Lord. So never forget these words and run with them throughout this year. Your weapon this year, major weapon, will be the joy of the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Ooh, glory. Thank you for all transcendent spirit. Thank you for all transcendent spirit. You strike the sweetest love for me on the strings of my heart. Your demonstrated love is my victory. It's so amazing that a voice that formed creation is the same that calls my name at every dawn. You lead up my life with the beauty of your glory. For you alone, my Lord, I love you now.
I love you now and always.
My eternal King. Just like that, yeah.
You strike the sweetest love chords on the strings of my heart. Your demonstrated love's my victory.
Let's do this part. Say on my lips, sing it and say,
on my lips, your praise is on repeat.
That's your song for this year.
Like
no matter what is going on, keep it. Praise on your lips. Sing it again. Stay on my lips.
On my lips.
Put his praise on repeat.
Your praise is on repeat.
Woo.
Like a mountain in my soul. Almighty.
Read one more time. Stay on my lips.
On my lips.
No matter what, it's not working well. Sing one more time. Say on my lips.
On my lips. Your praise is on repeat. Like an anthem in my soul.
Sing one more time. Say on my lips.
On my lips.
Woo.
Your praise is
put his praise on my lips. Say on my lips.
On my lips.
Woo.
Your praise is on repeat. Like an anthem in my soul. Almighty God.
Sing it again. Say on my lips.
On my lips.
Your praise is on repeat.
Your praise is on repeat.
Higher.
Like an anthem in my soul.
Read one more time. Say on my lips.
On my lips.
Woo.
Your praise is on repeat.
Ah.
Like an anthem in my soul.
I want to hear your own voice to it. 20 verse 18. That's a scripture coming to my heart very strongly. Oh, glad I did, Gosh. I just said that in my spirit. The Israelites asked the Lord, who shall go first? They were about to get into a battle. I just said that very strong in my spirit. Judges 20 verse 18. God has promised them victory. And then they asked him, which of us shall go up first to the battle like a children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. I heard that in my spirit. I heard Judah shall go up first. You know what Judah means? Judah means praise. So praise shall go first this year. That's what I heard. Judah shall go first. Ooh, Judah shall go first. I heard that very strong in my spirit. Judah shall go first. Praise will go ahead. So if any battle starts, who shall go first? Judah shall go first. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God. Woo! I love you now and always,
my eternal King.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your living love is overwhelming. It's indescribable. You strike the sweetest love for on the strings of my heart. Your demonstrated love is my victory.
Do it one more time, let you know it now. I love you now.
I love you now and always.
Let's go, hear your own voice.
Woo. Your liquid love is overwhelming. It's indescribable.
So on my lips,
on my lips, your praise is already like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God.
Mean it right now. Say on my lips,
on my lips, your praise is already like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God.
Sing it yourself now. Say on my lips,
on my lips, your praise is on repeat, like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God.
Read one more time. Say on my lips,
on my lips, your praise is on repeat, like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God.
Read one more time. Say on my lips,
on my lips, your praise is on repeat, like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God.
Hey, do you love the Lord?
I love you now and always.
I tell our King.
Your living love is so overwhelming. It's indescribable.
Don't forget, Judah shall go first. I heard that very strong in my spirit this morning. Judah shall go up first. Judah shall go up first. When things are not working, who will go first? We want to go to war against lack. Who goes first? If we want to go to war against sickness, who goes first? If we want to go to war against poverty, who goes first? We want to go to war against barrenness. Who goes first? We want to go to war against failure. Who goes first? Who are you putting first? Who are you putting first? Listen, many other things will follow behind. There will be other tribes that will come behind. But the tribe of Judah should go first. Do I have some praises this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to give God praise.
with a dance, with a shout, with your words, however you want. Yes, 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 yes. So don't forget this morning, always put praise first. Now that's an instruction in God's word, but that's an instruction to us particularly. Put praise first. No matter what goes wrong. Before you complain, let praise go first. Before you call your neighbors, when you get that rejection mail, let praise go first. I get the point? When they tell you what you don't like, what should go first?
Praise.
When you get that medical report and it shows terminal, incurable, let praise go first. Before they complain, before every other thing, before you call, let praise go. And when you put praise first, there will be no need for the complaints. Normalize, say, you know, thank you, Lord Jesus. Normalize those things. Oh, well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. We get a bad message. Oh, well, glory to God. Normalize that. Hallelujah. So which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Now, this is actually a real story. But that word just lighted up in my spirit this morning. You know, and you know the word Judah actually means praise, actually. It means praise. I just want to, you know, God is using that to talk to us this morning. That's not what this verse is saying, actually. Do you understand? But this is what God is using to speak to us this morning. Let Judah go first. Let praise go ahead of you. And you will win. How many of us are ready for the word this morning? Ready for the word this month? What are we doing this month? What are we doing this month? Special graces. What are we teaching on this month? Do you love the anointing? Do you love the anointing? I can teach on the anointing for a whole decade. Because it's not just what I say, it's what I know, what I live by. Oh, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Life is boring without the anointing. Ministry is boring without the anointing. I tell you the truth. Ooh, see this month. It will be in teaching, it will be in experience. In teaching and in practice. Oh, hallelujah. But let's see if we can start with teaching this morning. Is that okay? Because the experience is what is calling. But I'm trying to shut it down so that we can just do teaching this morning. Is that okay? Are you ready? Have your seat with expectation. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So we're going to be teaching on this. Amen. We're going to be teaching on the anointing this morning. Even though this light is not working. I blow it. I'm just saying. That's why I'm smiling. Glory to God. So the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ooh. On Thursday, I'm going to, you know, do a few more things. I'm going to teach, you know, look at some Greek words further, if we have the time for that. So that we can just get into the teaching, into some practical things today. But on Thursday, for instance, there are three major Greek words used to describe the anointing in the New Testament. Three major Greek words. We're going to look at that more and more on Thursday. That is a Greek word called aleifo. That's a Greek word called aleifo. I'll just write them, but on Thursday, perhaps we're going to have time to teach. This should be well positioned. Amen. So there's a Greek word called aleifo. That's the first Greek word. So these words, we're going to look at them more closely on Thursday. Okay, there's another Greek word called chrisma. So if you are at LMP, I actually say something in this direction. There's a Greek word called chrisma. Chrisma. And there's another Greek word called krio. These three words will be used to describe the anointing in different parts of the Bible. Okay? For instance, that word aleifo simply means to rub. To rub something. R-U-B. It means to rub. You find that used a lot and a lot and a lot in the Bible. You find that, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to look at this more critically on Thursday. I just want to see if I can lay a foundation for us to build on today. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 17. Okay. Hallelujah. In Matthew 6 and verse 17. He said, but thou, when thou fastest, he said, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Now, that in this context is not talking about power, as it were. It's talking about rub cream on your head. You know, or just, you know, anoint your head, wash your face. And you find that a lot in the Bible, New Testament, Matthew 6, Mark 6, all over the place. Okay? It occurs 10 times. It occurs 10 times in the New Testament in 8 different verses. We're going to look at all of that on Thursday. And the word chrisma, for instance, means a special endowment. It means an unction. An unction. So when we read like 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, you find that word chrisma. 1 John 2 verse 20 said you have an unction from the Holy One. That's what chrisma. You have an unction from the Holy One. In other words, a special endowment. In verse 27, he said, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you. That word unction in verse 20 and this word anointing in this verse is from the same Greek word chrisma. It means a special endowment. A special endowment. That's what the word chrisma. Another word, for instance, is the word krio. Krio, that's the third word we're looking at. You know, that word in the Greek is used to, you know, to consecrate someone for a special office. Okay, so if the king, if someone were to make someone king, if you check the Old Testament, they will call the person and anoint the person specially for that office. That word is used for anoint, but in specific terms, it means to consecrate someone to an office. For instance, in Luke 4 verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to do this, to do this, to do that. That word krio, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So that word is not talking about an endowment, as it were. It's talking about a special consecration for service. Are we still here? We're going to look at all of that more closely on Thursday, as God will help us. But then generally, the anointing itself, when we talk about the anointing, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Because basically, the word anoint actually means to rub something. That's the word I lay for. It means to rub. And so, if you tell a normal Jewish man, he said, that guy anointed his body. They're going to ask you, with what? When Jesus died, they went to anoint his body with myrrh. Do you remember? They went to anoint his body. It means to rub something. So when you now talk about the anointing, the question we are asking you is, what is it that you are anointed with? So in the context of Christianity, the anointing simply is the Holy Spirit. So if you read places like Acts 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he was anointed. What was it that was anointed with? He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. So we'll talk about that. You cannot actually separate the anointing from the Holy Ghost. The anointing is the Spirit. So when we actually say the anointing of the Holy Ghost, in a way, there's a way you look at it, it's even tautology, but it's not actually anyway. But in a way, it's tautology. But then it means that endowment that the Holy Ghost brings. That special unction that the Holy Ghost brings. So I'm talking about the Holy Ghost here specifically. I used to hear. You know, in Luke 4, 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me. In that verse again, the Holy Ghost is the one that anointed him. So when we're talking about the anointing, we're talking about the Spirit of God, the anointing, the Holy Ghost. It means to endow someone. It means to
endow someone with the Spirit of God. Is you know, to say that guy is anointed, what you actually mean is that the Holy Ghost is in him, has empowered him to do this and do that. When we say that guy is anointed to heal the sick, what you are saying is the Holy Ghost is in him, and because of the presence of the Holy Ghost in him, he has enabled him to put this on the sick and heal. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you still here? When we say that guy is anointed to be a prophet, what we simply mean is that the Holy Ghost is in him and has enabled him to flow in the prophetic. So the anointing is not really different from the Holy Ghost. I get to the point. So what we are doing in this series is to help you understand what the anointing does, help you see how the anointing functions, help you see how to flow in the anointing. That's what we want to do. So actually, in a way, I'm going to get to this much later. In a way, we are not actually teaching how to get the anointing, because I'm showing you that the anointing is the Holy Ghost. And everyone that is born again is already indwelt by the Spirit of God. Do you remember that? We already have the Holy Ghost. So in a way, we are not actually teaching how to get. Because we are going to see it very shortly. Because the anointing is the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is inside of you, you have the anointing inside of you. So what is this teaching about? Is actually how to understand how the anointing works. To understand how you can flow better in it. Are you following me? And to explain some basic, some tiny details around this anointing thing. For instance, there are three classifications I can give to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There are three classifications. One is the anointing within. There is the anointing within. The anointing within. Are you still here? I can also call this the believer's anointing. So there is anointing within. There is also, because there is also the anointing. I'm going to explain all of this very shortly and give it more emphasis as we progress. There's also the anointing on ministry gifts. So there is the anointing within. There is the anointing on ministry gifts. Amen. And then there is also, the anointing for other ministry responsibilities. The anointing for other ministry responsibilities. Other ministry responsibilities. Then there is also the corporate anointing. Are you still here? Now, remember, the anointing is the Holy Ghost. You know, right? So when we're talking about, for instance, the anointing within, okay, what we are talking about is simply the believer's anointing. That indwelling of the Holy Ghost that is within every believer. We're going to look at that a little today. For instance, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. We've read it. Let's read it again. 1 John 2 verse 20. 1 John 2, it said, "But you have an unction from the Holy One." Who is he talking to? Where he says you have an unction from the Holy One, who is he talking to? Huh? He's talking to every believer. You have an unction. That word "you" there is plural. You all have an unction from the Holy One. Are you following me? Give me like NLT Amplified Classic, another translation. He said, "But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you His Spirit." Give me like Amplified Classic. "But you have been anointed, you hold a second appointment from, you have been given an unction from the Holy One." He's talking to every believer. If you go to verse 27, he told them, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you." That's the anointing within. It is in every believer. That one is the Holy Ghost in every believer. That's why, in a way, there is no believer who can say he's not anointed. Because he carries the Spirit of God. Are you following me? He houses the Spirit of God. "But the anointing which you have received of Him." Notice, he's not talking, in these two verses we read now, he's not talking about what will happen. He's talking about what has happened. Did you see that? The anointing which you have received, not you, each you will receive, which you have. So he's talking to everybody. Because this letter was written to the church. And he's telling all of them, the anointing you have received. So he's not teaching them how to pray for the anointing to come. He's informing them about a certain anointing they've received. When did they receive the anointing? When they came into Christ and got filled with the Holy Ghost. So that is anointing within, is in every believer. And we're going to look at that closely today. So right away, I said, once you are born again, the anointing of God is inside of you. This one. Are you still here? Now, when we talk about anointing on ministry gifts and all of that, we are talking about, you know, remember the anointing is the Holy Ghost again. I'm trying to remind you. We're talking about where there is a special endowment of the Spirit. Now, that same Holy Ghost that is in all of us now picks certain people and now specially empowers them because of an assignment he has given them. For instance, if someone is called to be a prophet, that person carries the believer's anointing because he's a believer. But then, furthermore, God will now empower the person to stand in that prophetic office. What does that empowerment mean? Does it mean he has more Holy Ghost than all of us? No. It means there will be a kind of manifestation that will be coming from him. Manifestation of that same Spirit. But that is coming because of his office. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's anointing on ministry gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That is that anointing. Amazingly, this is not a good thing. When people teach about anointing, many people, this is the only thing they talk about. Ministry gift. Anointed to prophesy. Anointed to heal the sick and all of that. Actually, the basic thing is this anointing within, the believer's anointing. Because whether you are called to be a prophet or anything, it's the believer's anointing. It's the Spirit of God that lives in everybody that you first of all have. But then, if there's now a special assignment God wants you to do for him, that we can now talk about the anointing on ministry gifts. There's also anointing for other ministry responsibilities. By that we mean, you might not be called to be an apostle, you might not be called to be a prophet, you might not be called to be a teacher or anything, but you might be given other responsibilities to do in God's house. There's also an anointing for that. What that means is there's also God's special enablement to do that well. For instance, if you read scriptures like Exodus 31, you know, and verse 1, the Bible tells us, and the Lord said, or the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. So the first question was, give me NLT of this verse. You live in translation. Let's use it together, everybody. Are you ready? Let's go. Start again. Giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of craft. So this guy was about, they were about to build. And the Lord is saying that is a man, every person can build, but there's a man called Bezalel. That I've, not only does he have the ability to build, I've anointed him to do it. Do you understand? That's why I told you, every responsibility you can do in God's house, there's an anointing for that. Ushering is something you can do, with or without being born again. But if you're going to do it in God's house, God will have to specially empower you to do it. Are you what I'm talking about? Singing is something you can do, with or without anointing. Once you can sing, you can sing. But you see, when you're going to sing in God's house, God has to anoint you for it. So there is that anointing too for other responsibilities. Are you getting me? Then there is the corporate anointing. That's the kind of anointing that is in expression and in manifestation when all of us are together. Maybe I'm going to explain that towards the end of this series. Maybe when we are worshiping together, when we are singing, when we are teaching in this place now. If we're praying together, there's corporate anointing. That's why sometimes you find out you can be very cold in your prayer life. But when we come like this and all of us generating prayer, your prayer life will pick up. There's a corporate anointing. Actually, Brother Hagin will teach you that that is the strongest form, strongest expression of the anointing. That corporate anointing. When we are together like this, that's the strongest. Are you following me? But let's start with the first one, the anointing within. Because that is the key thing. That's where you start your journey as a Christian.
you might not be called to be a pastor, or you might be called to be a pastor. You might not be called to be a prophet, or you might be called to be a prophet. Now, that is up to God. But there is something that unifies all of us. We are all believers. Right? There is something that equalizes all of us. We are all believers. The fact that you're a believer, when you become a believer, God, there is an anointing that He brings to live within you, to walk within you. And we're talking about that there's an indwelling spirit. That's what we actually mean. There's an indwelling spirit. There's an indwelling anointing in every believer. So no believer is actually empty. John talking about it in 1 John 4 verse 4. He said, greater is He that is in you. He's referring to that Holy Ghost inside of you. He's referring to the anointing inside of you. Greater is He. So the first thing is, you must understand what is working inside of you, the anointing. Many people are all over the place praying to receive an anointing, where they've not understood that there's already an anointing working inside of them. I get the point. A couple of persons are going to join, tune in to this series or download this message to listen to it. And all because Pastor Henry is teaching on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we want to see how we can catch it. That's why they will tune in. Whereas what they should actually tune in to know is your precious anointing in them. Of course, how to grow yourself in the anointing. We're going to get to all of that much later. But you have to start from knowing that there's an anointing that works inside of you. You're not actually empty. Is someone following me this morning? You are not empty. You carry an anointing of the Holy One. 1 John 2 verse 20. Look at that again. You have an unction of the Holy One. He told them in verse 20, you have an unction of the Holy One. He told them in verse 27, that unction or that anointing abideth in you. Look at that. This anointing we're talking about is an indwelling anointing. It's something that has come to stay inside of you. It remains. Are you following me? So the day you came into Christ and then you received Jesus and you began to speak to us and all that, the anointing of God came to live inside of you and it has come to remain. The anointing which you have received abideth in you. So there's an abiding presence. There's an abiding spirit. There's an abiding unction. That is an indwelling Holy, an indwelling spirit inside of you. So the anointing you've received abideth in you. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. I'll wait for you to get it in your Bible. Have you found it? Have you found it? He said, now He which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Has anointed us. Notice again, that anointing is in the past. He's talking about an indwelling presence in every believer. He has anointed every believer. He didn't say He has anointed some of us. He anointed us. Us in context talks about you. He has anointed you. He is God. So actually, no believer is without the anointing. Say, I'm anointed. Do you want to say that again? Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I carry the anointing of God within me. I'm not empty. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Yes, have a seat. We are anointed. There's an anointing within. We are talking about the Holy Ghost within every believer. So before you begin to talk about prophets, apostles, evangelists, there is an anointing within every believer. And you must understand what anointing does. You know, in John chapter 14 and verse 16, this anointing we call it the spirit within every believer. He said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever.
He's talking about that anointing. He will abide with you. He will stay in you. And already you are seeing that it's not an it. The anointing is not an it. It's a he. Are you observing it? He will stay with you. 1 John 4 said, greater is he, not it. It's the Holy Ghost inside of you. He said, he will abide with you forever. Now verse 17 tells us, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. So that spirit that will abide with you forever is the spirit of truth. So there's an anointing for every believer carries the spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, the unction of the Holy One in you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, no, chapter 6 rather, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? What concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believed with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. That's the anointing inside of you. The Holy Ghost. He said, for he said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them. So where you are staying, the Holy Ghost is living inside of you. That's the anointing. People say, me, I have the Holy Ghost. Father, I now want the anointing. No, there's no difference, sir. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. Are you following me, church? You can't say, I have the Holy Ghost. Can I now be anointed? You have been anointed. What is the Holy Ghost? What is the anointing? Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me. If God's Spirit is upon you, if he lives inside of you, then there's an anointing living inside. He is the anointing. He's in every believer. He's the Spirit of God within the believer. Don't sing all these songs. Something more than gold. You know that song? Something more than gold. The Spirit of the Lord. Do you have the Holy Ghost inside of you? There's an anointing. It's the Holy Ghost. It's more than every other thing. Your journey into spiritual flows. Because I know that's what many of you want. But it starts from here. Knowing that, first of all, as a believer, that there's the Holy Ghost living inside of you. There's an anointing working inside of you. The believers, it's every believer. The one that gets born again today receives that anointing. The one that has been born again for 15 years, that anointing is there. You know, there's this argument about, and I'm going to get to that later. Cannot anointing grow? Can he be bigger? Well, I'll get to that much later. But the truth of the matter is that it cannot be bigger. People that say it can be bigger, you can increase it or reduce it, I understand what they're saying. And that thing they're saying, we're going to get to that much later. But then, if it is the Holy Ghost, he's a person, right? A person. If you are in here, you are in here. If you say the Holy Ghost is more in this one than in this one, could it be that his hand is in this one and then he left his leg outside? He's a person, not a thing. I get it, but if you think of the Holy Ghost as water, you can say, well, one may have it more than that. But we're talking about a person. If he's in you, he's in you. Is it that he came with his leg and left his hand behind? That when you pray much more, his hand will now come. You pray again, his kidney will come. Are you following me? He's a person. The only thing is that some have learned how to cooperate with him the more. So it looks like he is more in them. What actually is happening is that they've learned how to cooperate with him, and then he expresses himself more through some people than other people. Are you following me? But basically, he's in everybody, in all of us, the same way. So the same anointing I have, you have. Now, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to stand in an office. There is a place where I'm anointed to do that. But basically, as a believer, we all carry the same spirit. The same anointing. The same power. The same indwelling. I get what I'm saying. And let me say this to you. Majority of the things you will do in your Christian life, you will not do with the minister's anointing. You will do with the believer's anointing. Majority, and I'm going to show you this very soon. Majority of this you are going to do. Majority of this you are going to do. Are you following me? Majority of them, you do with the believers and the Spirit of God living within you. And so, that is that Holy Ghost. Let me show you a few things that Holy Ghost does. That Spirit of God does. That anointing does. Go back to that 1 John 2 verse 27. Open it again. Let's look at it again. He said, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But the same anointing teaches you. Now, people read this verse and say, I don't need any teacher. The anointing will teach me. That's not exactly what he's talking about there. Okay? He was talking about something in context. In this chapter 2, he was talking about false prophets. Okay? So he's now telling them that actually that anointing you have, by that anointing, you don't need anybody to explain all this to show you who is a false prophet or who is a real prophet, because that anointing will teach you. And actually, any believer that knows how to walk with the Spirit within can identify these things. So one of the things that anointing does is that it brings light, revelation, understanding. You are reading the Bible, you don't understand. It's because you don't understand that anointing inside of you. One of the things the Spirit of God inside of you does is to show you things. Not just future, not past. I'm not talking about that one now. To show you things in the Word of God. To teach you. To help you know Bible. To help you understand the message. To help you understand God. Understand ministry. Understand things. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. He teaches you. That anointing teaches you. So that anointing is a teacher. I just get what I'm saying, you know. So, what I'm trying to say by the fact that you're anointed, one of the things I'm saying is that you are carrying a teacher inside of you. Did you hear me? You're carrying a teacher inside of you. I didn't say a teaching anointing. I said a teacher lives in you. Is that anointing? That is the agent of revelation. That's why every believer can understand the word. Every believer can have light. Every believer can have revelation. Are you still here? You know, in John 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What are the all things he will teach you? He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said to you. So, that teacher brings to remembrance the words of Jesus. So, he teaches you Bible. He teaches you about God. And so no believer should be able to say, whenever they preach, I don't understand. There's a teacher inside of you. I'm trying to wake you up to your consciousness. That's why when I open the Bible to read, I cannot be without understanding. And that's not just my head. That is why without that anointing, without the Holy Ghost in the believer, okay, if you open the Bible can sound like tales by Mullah. When I see people argue Bible on social media, some very ignorant folks, unsaved men, say, but this verse said this. Sometimes they are laughing at their ignorance. I understand them because actually, those things written in the Bible will sound like foolishness to you, except the teacher teaches you. Except that anointing teaches you. Except you have revelation, it sounds like foolishness. Without revelation, the Bible doesn't make any sense. Are you following me? He said, you will bring to remembrance. So, that believer's anointing is responsible for revelation. Is the anointing is the agent of revelation. Is the agent of light. Is what opens our eyes to be able to understand. Are you following me? So, no believer can actually say, I don't understand Bible. No believer can say that. No believer can say, when they teach, it's like my head is jamming. When he talks like that, he has not understood that there's something, there's the Holy Ghost inside of him. One of the major works of that Holy Ghost is to begin to teach you. Try what I'm going to say. You don't understand Bible. When you open your Bible, I'm going to get to much of that, all of that later. When you open your Bible to read, pray. Pray in tongues for some time. When you pray in tongues for some time, just say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Pray in tongues, read your Bible, you will understand. What you've just done is that you've engaged an anointing within you. I get my point. You've engaged an anointing within you. You've engaged that spirit, that teacher. You've opened your ear to him. So the believer carries a teacher within. That teacher is what teaches. When I open the Bible, he begins to teach. Yes. Now, I know, and this is what I'm teaching now. When I open the Bible in my house, that teacher now, as I'm talking, is working inside of everyone here now. That as I'm talking, he's interpreting some other things to you. Explaining some other things to you. It's the Holy Ghost. I said it's the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? So it's the believer's anointing. It's in everybody. That anointing is in every believer that teaches the believer. That brings light to the believer. That brings light to him. So you find out all over the Bible. All over the Bible. All over the Bible. Glory to God. So Paul talking about it in Ephesians 1:17, he said that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give unto you the spirit of, look at what he calls that anointing, that spirit of God. He calls him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So the Holy Ghost is the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. He's the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. So I carry the spirit of wisdom inside of me. I carry the spirit of revelation inside of me. Are you following me? Stand your feet. Stand your feet. Open your feet. Open your feet. You guys are sleeping this morning. So you're going to stand for like 15 minutes. Everybody, stand, 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 stand. Glory to God. I carry the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. And so no believer should actually be confused. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the first thing the anointing does is that he brings light. He brings revelation. He's a teacher. He's a teaching spirit. He's a spirit of wisdom. He's a spirit of revelation. He's a spirit of light. He's the agent of revelation. And so the apostles will bring the Old Testament and read it and begin to explain to you some amazing things from there. He said, how did they get that? It's that spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's in all of us. Now, hear what I'm actually trying to say. What brings revelation? I know there is the anointing of a teacher. There's the anointing of a pastor. We'll get to that. But that is not what is responsible for revelation in the God's word. What brings revelation in God's word is actually that the spirit of God that lives in all of us. Revelation, what I'm saying is revelation is not a special ability God gives to anybody. I get the point. There are things, for instance, church planting can be a special ability God gives to someone. That's what we'll talk about, specific anointings now, the anointing of ministry gifts. Are you following me? God can specially anoint someone to be able to plant churches. So he gets to a place and then a church starts. Now, one person, another person may not have that, actually. That's why we're talking about the anointing of ministry gifts. But things like revelation, understanding, is not special to anybody. So everybody has this one. Are you following me? Yes, the anointing brings light. The next thing that anointing does in every believer is that it brings fervency. That anointing is the fire that burns. That's what keeps us alive. That's what keeps us burning. When you see a believer that is zealous, you find zeal, you find fire. For instance, when the Bible tells us, quench not the spirit. That spirit there is the anointing. It's in every believer. It's what causes fervency. That is why every believer can burn. Every believer can be hot. Every believer can be fireful. Is there anyone like that? And so you notice fervency. When you see people reading their Bible, praying very well, you say, maybe that one has a calling. No. The agent responsible for that fervency is in every believer. So Psalm 110 puts it this way. He said, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. So in other words, in the day of God, the power of God, which is today, the day of the Holy Ghost, one of the things that work in every believer will be willingness. Zeal. Why? That anointing bears fire. It bears zeal. It bears fervency. Are you following me? Such that before I ever received a call into ministry, I was already burning for God. And so love nobody say, all this one, I come to church every day, pray every day. I'm not options, I cannot even do that. Actually, you can. There is a spirit within you that causes burning, that causes fervency, that causes fervency, that causes zeal, that steers willingness. Every believer. So no believer should actually be cold. Sir, but I know some believers that are cold. Maybe they don't have that fight. No. They don't know how to engage that anointing. That's an anointing in every believer that is responsible for fire. I get to the point. Responsible for zeal. Responsible for passion. For passion. Haven't you observed that when people get born again, one of the major things that mark this back people's early days in their Christian walk is excitement. Have you not observed? Excitement, passion, zeal. You know, you just want to do things. Is that anointing? Just that as people begin to progress, they begin to shut down that thing. They begin to shut it down. And they say, I don't even have passion for it again. They've shut it down. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm zealous. So the Spirit of God is within me. He causes me to burn. He causes me to burn. He causes me to be zealous. Hallelujah. So a songwriter said, you are the fire in me. You know that song? Let's sing it together. You are ever present, Holy Spirit. Sing it again. You are the fire in me. You are the fire in me. You are the power at work in me. You. Sing it again, you. You are my Holy Spirit. Oh. Holy Spirit. Say, precious Holy Ghost.
Precious Holy Ghost.
I worship you. Precious Holy Ghost, come have your way, come take in me. Hallelujah. So there is the fire in every believer. So I don't know how to pray, but I heard about Apostle D that can pray for 10 hours. Listen. Every believer carries that prayer fervency. Every believer. What I mean is, every believer can go for 8 hours praying. It's the Holy Ghost that does that. That does that. Every believer can go 8 hours praying. 6 hours praying. For example, I don't know how to do it. All the people I hear that do that are men of God. Well, it is because it's the men of God that have the opportunity to carry mic and tell their story. You know what I said? It's because it's men of God that have the opportunity to carry mic and tell their story. Every believer can do that. The day Riyad Bonke was supposed to die, when he came to Africa newly, he was not used our water. He took water, one well water like that, and drank it, and was almost dying at night. Then he thought he was going to die, but somehow he had an encounter that night, and God healed him. When he returned back to his home church, that very night, a certain woman has stayed awake all night holding on in prayer for him. Not a pastor, not a minister, not anything. Just a woman that was just steering her heart to pray. And she prayed for her monkey that night. After she prayed through that night. That's how that man survived. I get to the point. Now, that woman is not a pastor. What happened? She prayed like that? That is the fire of God in everybody. The fervency of the Spirit burns in everybody. So what I mean is this, you can actually burn for God. That Holy Ghost is there. It's the Holy Ghost that makes sure that we are born, that keeps us born. If we respond to Him. Are you following me? There's a testimony that broke out on the internet. People have been sharing it. Very amazing testimony. How that someone said a missionary was in a strange land ministering and all that. And one of those days, they were coming to come and attack him. They had gathered to attack him. They said they were going to come and attack him actually. But they didn't come again. After some time, he was asking them. That day, guys said they were going to come because those guys said I got born again. He said, why didn't you come? He said, well, we came, but we saw some giants around your house. A specific number, I think about 12 or so, around your house. 12 giants. And the man was confused. Later, when he went home to his home church, they found out that same night, 12 Christians were praying for him. And they got there, so 12 giants standing there. Not 12 pastors, 12 Christians. Fervency is possible. Because the Holy Ghost is the agency of fervency. He's one that orchestrates, that keeps us burning. Are you following me? Every believer can burn. Every believer can preach the gospel. Every believer can heal this. Every believer can be on fire. By that Holy Ghost. So there's an anointing within you that keeps you burning. I like to say that to myself all the time. That is, I say to myself, I used to tell myself, there's an anointing within you that helps you understand the Bible. There's an anointing within me that keeps me burning. There's an anointing within me that keeps me zealous. There's an anointing within me that keeps me fervent. So before we begin to talk about how the anointing can be used to heal the sick, that's something that anointing is doing inside of you first. Is helping you know the word. Is helping you stay fervent. And live it with the fire of God. I'm anointed. Oh, hallelujah. I'm anointed. Have you not observed, even people that are not serious with God, believers who are not serious with God, once they come into a meeting, for instance, where all of us are praying, maybe there's everybody else, everybody is heating up, then themselves suddenly begin to pray too, and begin to shout and all of that. What is happening? Something is calling out to them. That anointing within them is responding and reacting. And so the second thing anointing does, like I said, is that it keeps you fervent. Amen. That anointing leads. It also leads. So I'm showing you a few things the anointing within can do and does within you. Have your seat now. I hope you are awake now. Glory to God. That anointing leads. He leads you. In John chapter 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. Jesus told them, said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He hears, He shall speak. He will show you things to come. That part, He will show you things to come. It's not like I'm talking about doctrine or revelation. He's a leader. That is a leading spirit inside of you. I'm trying to show you something. There's the Spirit of God inside of you is responsible for knowledge, revelation. He's also responsible for fervency. He's also responsible for leading. That's why no believer can say, I don't even know what to do. I'm just so confused. You can't talk like that. There's an anointing within you, the Holy Ghost. Never can you say, I don't know what to do. I don't even know where to go. I don't even know the steps to take. As you're looking at me now, my life is just banging, banging, banging. There's an anointing within you that leads us. Oh, I've never been confused. I always know somehow what to do. Now, whenever there's a tough situation, says I'm just so confused. There's an anointing within. What I'm actually doing this morning is to bring certain things to your consciousness. I didn't say that anointing you need to get. I said that an anointing working inside of you now. That anointing is responsible for leading. For leading. It can lead you into where you can breakthrough. It can lead you into the right relationship. It can lead you into the right company. It can lead you out of trouble. I wish you know that anointing. I wish you recognize that anointing working inside of you. It has led me so many times. We call that we say inward witness is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It can lead you out of trouble. Lead you into good fortune. Are you following me? Lead you out of danger. I've enjoyed again and again the leading of the Spirit. That's why, for instance, things like marriage, no believer should get married like the world. Why? That's an anointing within. Any believer, hear what I'm going to say. Any believer that gets married carelessly must have ignored the anointing within him. Because that anointing within you will be talking to you. We'll be talking to you. Are you getting the point? Someone was telling me recently how that there's this girl, likes the girl who prayed and all of that. Believer in Christ and all of that. Good girl. The girl is also my daughter. This guy is my son. So it looks like perfect match. Prayed, believed God, and all of that. Are you following me? And then has even spoken to the girl. But said, found that he always loses his peace. He said, sometimes for days he will not be able to sleep over the same matter. The girl has not done anything bad, has not done anything wrong. I get what I'm saying. Has not done anything, believer, has not backed, doing very well. But then there is that, I said, is the Holy Ghost within you? Is reacting to something. There's something he's trying to point you to. Say, what do? I say, shut down for now. Slow down. Match break. It will take being totally, it will take you totally ignoring the Holy Ghost for you to make a mistake. I'll say it again. It will take totally ignoring the Holy Ghost for you to make a mistake. You have to totally ignore the Spirit of God, ignore the anointing within you to make a mistake. Because he will always respond in one way or the other. He will always frown at something or smile at it. Are you following me? And let no believer say, I actually don't know. You know. For the thing this young man told me, he said, the problem is that this confusion always comes after I pray for a very long time. After I pray for a very long time. Or I go to a program where we prayed a lot and all of that. I just come back confused. The answer is there before you. That doesn't mean the girl in question is a bad person. I get what I'm saying. It doesn't mean she's a bad person. It doesn't also mean you're a bad person. It's not like God is trying to save you from the girl or save the girl from you. God is just saying, let this not be. Because most of us, you know, when we talk about anointing within leading of the Spirit, we want to hear my son. You will not always hear my son. But as a leader within you. Sometimes he will literally drag you. Sometimes you feel like he's pulling you in a particular direction. So the anointing within the believer is a teaching anointing. It teaches, it brings revelation. That anointing within the believer also brings leading. It also brings fervency. So I always know what to do by that anointing. By that anointing, I know where to go and where not to go. By that anointing. I want to say that again. It will take you to totally ignore the Holy Ghost for you to make a mistake. To totally ignore the Holy Ghost. It will take you totally ignoring the Holy Ghost. I will say, it will take you totally ignoring the Holy Ghost to make a mistake. You have to totally ignore the Holy Ghost to make a mistake. Because he will always lead. He told them, he said, Isaiah 30, I think verse 21 or so. Look for that verse. Isaiah or Jeremiah said, your ear shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's Isaiah 21. That ear shall hear a word behind it. So that's the anointing. It's in every believer. What I'm saying, this thing is not about prophets. You see why I said we focus so much on teaching on anointing ministering it, how to heal this anointing to heal the sick. Anointing, we have ignored that there is a believer's anointing. Something that works in every believer. Whether you will do ministry or not, whether you are a pastor or not, whether you go to India for missions or not, has an anointing within every believer. He leads. He leads. Are you guys following me? He manifested himself in the Old Testament by leading the whole Israel. He led them by cloud. You know how it worked? If he wants them, so if they get to a place, and the cloud is still moving, they will keep moving. They were seeing the cloud physically. Any place the cloud settles, they will build their tents and stay there. If that cloud settles for 10 days, they will relax there for 10 days. If that cloud picks up after the 11th day, they start moving again. That's how the believer works. That anointing is that cloud inside of you. It rises, it settles. Are you good what I'm talking about? It rises and it settles inside of you. You want to go and do this, you know, you want to go and visit this person. Harmless visits. But that anointing refuses to rise, it settles. You just feel, Brother Ekin will say, it's like washing your legs with your socks on. A weird feeling. I get what I'm saying? A weird, it's like something is just off about this. You try to put it off, but it's there. It's that anointing of the Holy Ghost. So when we say, I'm anointed, don't just think about healing the sick of that. That's a believer's anointing. That leads. That makes sure you not get into trouble. Into trouble. Oh, glory to God for the anointing of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That anointing leads. That anointing leads. That anointing leads. Oh, our time is spent. That anointing leads. That anointing leads. Let me just say one last thing. That anointing comforts. One of the things that anointing does in every believer is to bring comfort. That's the comfort. So many of us have not understood this. And the Lord said I should talk about this one specifically. As I said, let me talk about it before we close. There's this anointing that the anointing of God brings. There's the comfort of the Spirit. Such that when things are falling all apart, He's there. So the anointing everybody that comforts. But give me John 14, verse 16 to 18. I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay? Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Go to verse 16. Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Glory to God. Let's read together. What did He call Him? Comforter. What else is He? Counselor. What does He mean again? Helper. Intercessor. Advocate. Strengthener. Standby. So there is actually a strength inside every believer. Is that anointing? So I'm just so weak. This is not working. I'm falling apart. There's an anointing within that strengthens, that bubbles within you somehow, that brings comfort. If you learn how to do that anointing, oh, I'm just so down. Life is miserable. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. We can't be that down. Look at that. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a helper. There's a helper within you. Remember again, he's a person. There's a helper within me. There's an advocate. There's a strength now within me. So next time you are lying down and you're just so frustrated, remember, not only is there strength, there is a strength now. It's an anointing of the Holy Ghost. It brings strength. I've known what we call the comfort of the Spirit. And the comfort of the Spirit is not just to pat your back and say, oh, it's fine. That's not the comfort of the Spirit. He brings words that will not only comfort your heart, but that will fix the situation. It's the comfort of the Spirit. He said, comforter, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. This blessed me last night. Stand by. I love stand by. You know what a stand by is? Look who a stand by is. He's just there. In case there's anything, you know, in a house, you are doing meetings, we have a generator. We have a standby generator. That standby generator is there in case we will need the help. That's a standby. The Holy Ghost is a standby. He stands by in case something falls apart. And that's the thing about working with God. When you are working with God, He doesn't only work with you. He stands by to see that if anything goes wrong, He will fix it. To stand by. So, point I'm making is no believer is without help. The fact that you are anointed means you're not without help. See the next verse of this. He said, The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to his heart, because he does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly. Somebody say constantly. So when we talk about the teacher, there's a teacher within you. He lives in you constantly. When we talk about, he's there as my leader. He leads me constantly. So this comfort of the Spirit too is there constantly. That's always a comfort of the Spirit, a strengthening of the Spirit. He said that he will be in you. Now see verse 18. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. Hallelujah. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. He said, I will come back to you. What was he talking about? How will he come back to them? He came back to them by the Holy Ghost coming to live in their heart. So how did Jesus make sure they were not helpless, comfortless, by bringing the Holy Ghost in their hearts? May you know the comfort of the Spirit. May you know the help of the Spirit. It's the anointing. I didn't say may you have. May you know it. Because it's actually working inside of you. So what you need more is consciousness, awareness. What you need more is awareness, because he already said he's living inside of you. So as you're looking at me, I'm not helpless. I'm not without comfort. I'm not without strength. So something has happened. I just can't seem to move on from it. You don't actually know the comfort of the Spirit. I'm not trying to make light of what happened to you, but if you understand the comfort of the Spirit, you can move from anything. I've moved from anything and everything. I don't think a believer should be down for 2 weeks. 3 weeks. Everybody's calling you on the phone. You've put up your phone. Yeah, I'm passing through a lot. I don't think so, actually. I don't think so. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. When you call your pastor and you can't get him on the phone, you call your cell leader, the number is not connecting. You reach out to your friend, they're not online at that moment. You turn left, you turn right, there's nobody. Just look within. Look within. You carry an anointing. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. What I think, and why I'm doing this teaching, is that a lot of believers who have mastered how to use the anointing to help people, which is okay. What they've not mastered is what that anointing does within them. They've not. That's why there are many pastors who are blessing people, but they themselves are not blessed. There are many pastors who are comforting, but they themselves, they don't have comfort. Your journey into the supernatural will start from knowing that there is something that works within you. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. He's the reason that when we teach the word, you can understand. Are you following me this morning? He's the reason that when we teach the word, you can get it. He's the reason that when you read the Bible, you understand. He's the reason. He's the reason that when we want to pray, you are fervent. It's the reason you want to go to church. That's embodied inside of you. It's the reason you want to be serious. You know, this year, we're just beginning of this year, something was telling you have to be serious. It's that anointing within you. It's that anointing within you. He also brings comfort. The comfort of the Spirit. Nothing beats that. Nothing beats that. Nothing beats that. If you know the Holy Ghost is there, He's not just there for you to speak in tongues and say, Shamanama is one of those things. We'll get to that later. He's not just there for you to go use to heal the sick. We get to that also. He's also there to bring comfort. Say, I'm not comfortless. Say, I'm not an orphan. Even if you've lost your father and your mother, say it. Say, I'm not an orphan. Why are you saying that? Look at that verse. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not. I will not. Say, I lost my daddy. Who will come through for me in this life? The Holy Ghost. Practically, the Holy Ghost. Who will now be giving me counsel? The Holy Ghost. I lost the best friend. Whenever I'm in tough time, who do I call to cry to? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. So you guys are over-specializing this, and that's exactly what we are doing. Don't you think so? It's very spiritual. The Holy Ghost. It's a life first reality. Not everything is holy. You actually don't know the Holy Ghost. You can finish praying and just bow your head. He will begin to talk. He can be so, I will talk about this later, that I can, there's such a thing as a tangibility of the anointing. He can be so tangible that you feel somebody's inside your room. Yeah. Like you can feel someone is actually talking to you in your room. Sometimes that presence is so thick around me that you almost want to, you are wondering, are you not feeling this? Are you not hearing this? You can almost cut it with a knife. The Holy Ghost. He has walked into my room. Walked into my room now is figure of speech, but it actually lives in me. But I've sensed him walk into my room in tough times. He will just come and begin to talk to you. And how comforting his voice is. How reassuring his voice. Nothing can be compared with that. And you think we are forging it until you experience it. Hallelujah. You think we are forging it until you experience it. Until you know that comfort of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost. Lift your voice, pray in the Holy Ghost. Ooh. You know, look at message. Instead of we can just pray after now. Look at message. Message didn't use helper, comfort, but message used the term that I want to use. He said, I will not go to verse 16. He said, I will talk to the Father. He will provide you another friend. So that you always have someone with you. The anointing is not a thing, it's a friend. The Holy Ghost is not a thing, he's a friend. It's not a thing. Oh, hallelujah. I have a friend. You always have someone with you. I'm never alone, no. Never. He said, why? The anointing. So like you get into an interview hall. When everything is shutting down, when it's like you're having, people say they have blackouts. Do you experience those things? Do you ever experience blackouts? No, for real. Sometimes everything just shuts down. You have a friend. And some of you know what I'm saying. You have a friend. You can just lean in. I will talk to the Father, he'll provide you with another friend so that you always have someone with you. See the next verse. The friend, this friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because he doesn't have eyes to see him and doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you. When he has been staying with you, he was referring to himself, he has been staying with them. He said he will even be in you. That's now the Holy Ghost. Then verse 18, he now told them, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. And he did come back. He came back as the Holy Ghost. He came back as the anointing. As the anointing. May you have this experience though. Because he lives inside of you. I'm going to show you a lot in this series. When we talk about anointing, people think anointing is just power fall. Everybody's falling down. The anointing is moving. It's much more than that. He's a person living inside of you. So there's somebody inside. I have a friend. Oh, glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.